Welcome, everyone. Glad to have you with us for the deep dive. Today, we are digging into this week's news stack. We're specifically looking at the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing, mainstream media news. And yeah, a special welcome to all you truth seekers joining us on behalf of the Great Awakening Report. Our goal today really is clarity. You look at the headlines this past week. I mean, a political assassination, huge policy shifts on health, media buyouts, troops on the streets. It seems like, whoa, chaos. But the source material we're working with today argues these aren't just random, isolated events.
That's the core idea, isn't it? We're trying to approach this not just as news consumers, but more like observers, active observers. The source, the briefing, it frames these really disruptive, sometimes painful events as serving what it calls a higher purpose.
A higher purpose, okay.
Yeah, the idea is that purpose is to basically shatter illusions, expose corruption that's maybe been hidden, and ultimately push humanity towards reclaiming, well, sovereignty, personal and collective. So as we go through these five key stories, we're trying to step back, think critically, and maybe spot those hidden patterns the briefing claims are leading to this, you know, massive global shift.
Okay, let's jump right in then. The biggest, most seismic event has to be the immediate aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination, the political side first.
Well, the immediate move was all about continuity, which is interesting in itself. Within hours, literally hours, Turning Point USA named his widow, Erica Kirk, as both CEO and chair.
Wow, that fast.
Yeah, very fast. A clear signal, right? Trying to project stability, resilience, especially after such a politically charged, violent act.
But the briefing, it seems less focused on those mechanics and more on the, let's say, sociological impact. It gets really interesting there. It frames the whole thing not as just a tragedy or a setback, but as a huge catalyst for deeper reflection, especially among younger people, like those in their 20s. How does it back that up?
Well, it connects the event directly to the, you know, the already high level of distrust young people, millennials, Gen Z have in institutions. Yeah. The analysis suggests that before this, maybe people were aware of corruption, censorship, political games, whatever. But it was kind of passive. You knew things felt off, but maybe weren't actively doing much about it.
Right, just background noise almost.
Exactly. And the argument in the source is that this act of violence transforms that passive awareness. It becomes active questioning, independent research, and collective organization. It's seen as accelerating what the source calls the Great Awakening in that generation, turning people who might have felt like victims of the system into motivated truth seekers, maybe even future leaders.
So the idea is political violence, instead of crushing a movement, it kind of jolts it awake, like an emergency alert that forces new leadership, maybe more energized leadership, to step up and challenge the old ways.
That's the core thesis presented. It makes the struggle less abstract, less intellectual, and much more visceral, real. And the source identifies that shift as key for real decentralized change and reclaiming that sovereignty we mentioned.
Okay, that's a powerful frame. Let's shift now to these huge institutional shakeups in health and media happening almost in parallel. First, this RFK Jr. vaccine policy overhaul. I mean, this looks like the biggest policy reversal in that department maybe ever.
Oh, it's absolutely a major disruption. Profound, really. The details in the briefing are pretty sweeping. They mentioned immediate restrictions on mandatory vaccine eligibility in some states, some federal programs.
Okay.
And the dismissal, the sudden dismissal of the CDC director who'd been there a while. And maybe the biggest thing, appointing known longtime vaccine mandate skeptics to key advisory roles.
Wow. Regardless of where you stand on vaccines, that is a tectonic shift in policy. How does that fit the bigger narrative we're tracking, this institutional collapse idea?
Well, the source describes it as a seismic shift. Yeah. Moving away from what it sees as systemic, almost blind compliance towards informed consent, towards what the source keeps calling personal sovereignty in matters of health. For years, decades maybe, the system relied on public trust in this unified medical government complex.
Yeah.
Now, that whole complex is being forced into the open, forced to confront the connections between big pharma regulators, media narratives. The briefing frames this as a kind of forced reckoning, a move away from centralized, maybe fear-based health policies towards individual choice and accountability.
And that cracking, that fracturing in health policy, it seems to mirror what's happening with information control. Let's talk media dynamics. We're seeing reports tracking conservative owners, big influencers, buying up stakes in legacy media outlets, changing editorial boards, pushing them towards pro-MAGA perspectives, as the source puts it.
Yes, exactly. For so long, the feeling or the argument was that just a few corporations controlled the main narrative, right?
Yeah.
This wave of new ownership, often with different ideological leanings and serious capital behind it, signals that monopoly might be breaking down fast. We're seeing big names, big networks shift their coverage quite dramatically.
And the connection to the Great Awakening idea, according to the source material, is really key here.
Absolutely vital, yes. This shift is framed as the collapse of blind trust in media gatekeepers.
Okay.
Which then creates space for what the source calls discernment and independent thought. It allows that to grow. The briefing sees control of information as directly tied to control of consciousness. So when that centralized system cracks, individuals gain more ability to synthesize different, even conflicting viewpoints, leading to, well, information sovereignty. Thinking for yourself.
Right. Makes sense. Let's pivot now to fractures on the global stage, but also how centralized power is showing up more visibly at home. Let's start internationally. Senate Democrats pushing for Palestinian statehood recognition. This feels like a pretty dramatic move, geopolitically speaking. Yeah. The resolution calls for formal U.S. recognition, pre-1967 borders, demilitarized state under the Palestinian Authority. That really challenges decades of U.S. policy consensus.
It does. And what's fascinating is how the source material interprets this. It's presented less like a typical diplomatic chess move.
Okay.
And more as a window, a look into the hidden machinery of global agendas.
Yeah.
The deep splits, this issue reveals generational splits, ideological ones that are being forced out in the open like never before. The implication in the source is that these alliances, these foreign policies that maybe felt untouchable, shielded by agreement from both parties and kind of kept quiet by the media, they're now under intense scrutiny. The public is being pushed, maybe forced, to reconsider who benefits from these foreign conflicts, what the true costs are, which ties right back into that theme of exposing hidden agendas and, well, systemic breakdown on a global scale.
And let's bring that theme of exposed power back home now. We have to talk about the National Guard deployment and this move against Antifa. The Trump administration ordered the Guard into Memphis, citing rising crime, with hints other cities could follow. And at the same time, the DOJ is pushing harder to officially label Antifa a domestic terrorist group.
This really brings up those core questions, doesn't it? The balance between freedom and control. The sources really highlight this as a key battleground over sovereignty and security. When you see military personnel deployed on U.S. streets for civil issues, it makes people ask, is the government protecting us? Or is it, as the source suggests, maybe preparing to tighten its grip, anticipating more unrest?
And the Antifa designation. The briefing sees that as weaponizing language, defining opponents as existential threats.
That's the framing, yes.
Yeah.
It paints the conflict less as just political disagreement and more as this high-stakes clash.
Right.
Centralized government power versus decentralized individual freedom.
Exactly. And this visibility, seeing state power physically manifest in American cities, that's identified as another accelerator for this awakening idea. It makes abstract concepts like centralized control very concrete, very real. It forces more people to consciously pick a side, perhaps.
Okay. Wow. We've covered a ton of ground here. Political violence sparking youth action, radical health policy shifts, legacy media cracking, foreign policy exposing hidden agendas, and now military deployment showing centralized power. So how do we pull the string on all this? How do we synthesize these five seemingly separate threads? What's the bigger picture according to the briefing? Well, when you zoom out, the pattern the briefing identifies seems, well, pretty clear from their perspective. The connecting theme through all of this is collapse and awakening. It's not just a series of unfortunate events. It's presented as systemic pressure forcing a total overhaul.
Right.
Let's just quickly recap those connections they draw. Political violence, a painful but necessary catalyst for youth awakening. Foreign policy fractures. They expose hidden global plans, medical institutions, forced into accountability, challenging old compliance models. Legacy media. It loses its grip, driving discernment. Federal deployments. They reveal the high stakes of sovereignty versus control.
So the conclusion in the source material is basically that the illusions are unraveling fast and the choice is being put squarely on us, on you, the listener, the observer, the participant. Control or sovereignty, fear or awakening, division or discernment. The briefing suggests the picture is becoming crystal clear if you choose to look.
Exactly. And making that choice, it requires significant inner work. The final guidance from the source material is quite powerful in this. It says, true, awakening isn't about suppressing feelings like the fear or anger these events naturally bring up. It's about recognizing those emotional energies, managing their intensity, and channeling them, channeling them into clarity, into balance, and ultimately into empowered action. That process, they argue, is vital for moving from just watching things happen to consciously engaging.
That is a really potent thought to end on. Use this synthesis, this deep dive, maybe as your Mac navigating what's happening. Clarity, courage, conscious awareness. Maybe those are the tools you need as this landscape keeps shifting. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's deep dive. We really look forward to exploring the next set of sources with you very soon.